Welcome back, everybody. Today's episode of the EJ is kind of fun because Dr. Jason surprised Dr. Brandon and I with just a random topic that he wanted to cover. So we'll jump right into our money mindset episode.
Got it.
We're live, guys. We're live.
All right, let's do it. Let's do this thing called the EJ. You know who I am. I'm Dr. J. I'm with Dr. Brandon. I'm with Chelsea.
Hola.
There it is. And today we're doing a random topic that I throw your way, which is what you guys love.
Oh, God.
Get surprised by it a little bit, but let's talk about something. We're going to kind of, this is broad, right? But I think it's one of the most important things that, you know, has ever been introduced to me. And I know a lot of the doctors will say the same thing in the company. And so let's talk a little bit today about
restaurants.
Football.
Nope. Football. Yes, I'm trying to guess where he's going.
Nope, none of those. Today we're going to talk about money mindset.
Oh, okay.
And what really, if we just ask the question, what separates someone that money just flows too easy, someone that has a good amount of money? And there's so many different levels of what rich is, if you will. But, you know, what makes some people rich and some people are just so frugal and so tight and it feels like they just stay broke forever? You know, is the Dave Ramsey path of saving your way, eating tuna, selling your car, take a bus, live in a fucking tent? Like, is that the way to go to get rich? Or is it more of like Elon Musk way of build spaceships and spend a ton of cash and money just continues to flow your way? And next thing you know, you become one of the richest. So tell me a little bit about, let's just start. What does money mindset even mean to you when I say that term?
I think for me, it's it happened a little more for me when I moved out here. I think you mentioned this too, Jay. When I moved out here from Colorado to Rancho Santa Fe, which is one of the wealthiest areas in the nation, let alone California.
Yep.
You'd see things like Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, all these cars driving by like on a regular basis. Every now and then when I lived in Colorado, you might catch one. Maybe that's because it snows out there. There wasn't convertibles. But out here, it's like every other,
but even SUVs, there's no Lambo SUVs. There's like, I mean, there is, but very rare,
like all over out here. You're just like, there's another. And you see the homes that are built on the side of the hills out here. And I just, it for me opened my eyes to like, that's kind of normal. Like a lot of people do that. So for me, it's even knowing that that is possible. It's okay to do that. These are good people. Some of the shit that comes up in my head that I was taught as a kid, and maybe we'll go into this a little bit. That's not even okay or not even possible. Or those people must be doing something weird or bad or negative. It's not. These are just good, hardworking individuals. They've created wealth for themselves. Good for them. So I wave at these guys now that are driving by in the Ferraris.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, it was that, just realizing that that's possible. And maybe that's a simple start to this, but just that it's even possible to have whatever type of income you want. There's no rules on that.
Charles, what do you think? What's it mean to you?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. I mean, just having an open mind and not having limiting beliefs about what you can achieve and what you can get when it comes to money or what's important to you, really.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, it's your expectation of what you think is possible. Like you said, Rancho, yeah, I mean, it's in a lot of different areas.
Right.
You know, every town has that area that has the nicest of everything. And some towns, the nicest is even a higher level, you know, and then you watch even some of these shows, maybe like Selling New York or Selling LA, and you start to see, it's just like every house is between, I don't know, 3 and 50 million, right? But these people make a living just selling like three of these a month. And there's hundreds of realtors selling a bunch of these a month. And, you know, all these high-end car places are just selling them. Wait till you get into the private jet world, right? I mean, it's nonstop. I've mentioned this several times. That was my next blow my mind type thing of like, there's this many people renting these. Companies like NetJet and different things like that are massive companies. And there's a lot of those. And they have people paying between 30 to 150,000 a month easily just for their regular flight travel, just, you know, to go to business trips and to take their family like that. Then there's the next level that owns the jet. And then the jets go from, that's a nice $2 million jet, all the way to like, holy shit, that's a $100 million jet, right? So, I mean, there's that, it exists in everything you do, real estate, vacation homes, automobiles, right? Vacation hotels. I mean, all this stuff, it's how you look at what's possible for you. And is that for other people or is that for you? Right. And so we the book we always say is Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. Right. We, it's something if you asked a lot of the leaders in this company, hey, what book made a big impact on you early on? I think a lot of people would say that. And it has nothing to do with business specifically, nothing to do with sales. It certainly doesn't have anything to do with chiropractic. But what it does is allow you to look at things a little bit differently of, hey, that's for me. And I can choose to do that. I can choose to attract that into my life. That's not something for other people. So that being said, what are some similarities of people you see that attract that on a regular basis? And maybe on the other side of that, what are some similarities of people that like that person's always broke and they'll always be broke?
Mm-hmm. I'll start with the second because I think I've identified them so much easier now that I've studied this more. I've read that book probably 7 times. Like, I'm not kidding, different parts of my life. So if anything out of the podcast today, go get that book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. One that I get out of it though, is the shit that we were taught as kids. And he talks a ton about this in the book, things that we were taught money is, money is this, money isn't that. And for me, that was stuff I had to dig out of my own self-conscious pretty heavily. Not that my parents were wrong or right, but just stuff I'd been told as a kid that money was bad. Money's for greedy people. Money's for not to do good with and stuff where I'm like, I started to believe that or was ingrained in that as a child. Mm-hmm. That as I went into my adult life, I had that in my mind. So then that instantly repelled money for me anyway, that's a bad thing. I don't want to have that because then I would be considered this. And I guess for me, that was a big first step. Get that out of my head so that I could start to see like money's not bad. Money does a lot of great things, no matter what you do with it. You talk about this a lot, Jay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you go buy a Ferrari or if you donate it to your church or you build
save it,
whatever you want to do.
Give it to your kids, right?
The point is, if you don't have it, period, you can't do any of that stuff. So right. You're worthless no matter what you're going to do with it if you don't have it. So you might as well have it and then have some options to do whatever you feel is best with it. So.
Well, the majority of people in this world are broke. Right. So, I mean, or wish they had more. Right. And so even to your effect, like, yeah, money's bad. Money's the root of all evil and, you know, different things like that. Even things that are the optimistic side of that, like money doesn't buy happiness. Well, no shit. No one said it does. Right. But if you are happy, it is more fun to do cool shit, you know? So, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it feels good to step into a really nice car. It is much nicer to fly private. It's better to stay in a beautiful resort than a shit resort. Not that you can't still go camping and stuff. That's great.
Yep.
Right. So that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying to have the option of doing whatever you want. So maybe it's the fact that you can go camping, but Monday through Friday, while everyone else is working. Right. And you can get the best spots and different things like that. So the to me, it means options.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want, when you want.
Yeah. It gives you the freedom. Just gives you the freedom to do the things that make you happy.
Exactly. And
whether, like, no matter what that is.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Common things I see from people on the other side, I'll take it from people that have money quite a bit.
Okay.
So people that have money quite a bit know that things will work out fine. Mm-hmm. Right. They don't flip out and every problem that comes their way isn't like, I knew this was coming. Here it comes. I was just waiting for shit to happen. And sure enough, it showed up. Right. Other people that have a wealth mindset, maybe look at that as an opportunity for how am I going to win at this and probably even make things better than they are right now. Right. And things work out. And so they also know that everything is a matter of like, you never say, I can't afford that. Right. You may say the time's not right for that just yet, but you know, in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, that's absolutely something within, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the next house you want or the next car you want or savings or a watch or an airplane, whatever you want to do, it's all within reach of anybody. Because what we know about, well, this economy, although it's taking some hits right now, some shitty leadership, but there's so much potential when capitalism is allowed to work.
Yep.
And there's an endless amount of money in the world, in your town, in your city that people are waiting to pay. Right. And so if you create something that people want, the money comes and it piles up, then it comes. Another common theme is that people diversify. They don't have a job and hope that they make it rich on their job. They have a job and 10, 15 other things. Some bring in a little bit, some are long-term investments, others are side hustles, others may be their big fish, but they don't have one thing because people that have one thing, if something goes wrong, you're in tough shape. If you have 15 things, knowing that probably one will always be a problem, one's always going to be like, oh my God, I can't even believe that much money's coming in. And then everything in the middle is going to be slowly, you know, developing and flowing and different things like that. So diversification of your wealth is a big one. Optimism, right, is another big one. And I think the honest belief that you can acquire anything you want is something you've got to get between your ears.
I think maybe you said, I can't remember what you said, but a millionaire on average has seven different sources. Yes. Speaking of diversification, seven different sources of income. As soon as I kind of figured that out and realized, holy crap, I got to figure out other ways to bring in money besides my two hands that I adjusted patients with.
Yep.
That changed my world instantly.
Yep.
I could start to have money working for me, not yep. me working for the money. And that was a big one for me as well. So I'm glad you said diversification. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's what you have coming in. I mean, so like the average, let's say the average chiropractor listening to this, they have a successful practice. Let's say they're bringing in, I don't know, $250,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they're very successful and doing what they want to do. Now, what you do with that money is going to dictate the next level of that.
Yeah.
So do you also have a rental property that you're making, you know, not a ton on, but you make $1,000 a month profit and someone's buying your house. And then you have three offices that you've invested in. And, you know, those are all bringing in another $2,000 a month and, you know, and just letting your money work for you.
Yep.
Then you have a couple other things here and there, a couple of investments, a couple of high risk, a couple of low risk, you know, it all adds up. And so all these little things start to become this revenue stream that you need to create. So you visualize this, you say it, you affirm yourself on this, right, through affirmations, and then you put in the work, right? You can't just say it. You actually got to back it up and do it. But then you start to watch these revenue streams start to pay off, and you invest in yourself and you trust yourself and you take the risk when you need to, because you know that you will provide that wealth stream for yourself. And once it gets going, it's hard to slow down. It's a really, really cool thing to watch.
Hey, one thing you just said, I think I said it just a couple of minutes ago, I'll pattern reset. Hardworking individuals. That was another misconception I had too, that it always had to be this hard work that I had to do. And I had to put in the grind and I have to put in the hours. And that's true to a point, right? Yes. Like you can't just hope it happens. You got to put some work in. But I've seen you do this. I've done this. Chelsea, you've done this, where we start to have our knowledge, our power in that sense work for us versus physical stuff where we're actually hardworking. I always thought that too. Like I got to work hard. Those guys that have money must be working their ass off. And I needed to match that and make sure I was doing it. Not true necessarily.
Well, in some cases, I think if you're just having to do the grind day to day, you're actually limiting yourself from growing. And if you're working smarter and not hard,
right.
You're still working hard if you're working smart, but you've just put more work in on the front end.
I busted my butt. I could see 500 patients a week or something. I'm just busting hard and doing it. Like, but then there's my cap. I couldn't see any more than that in the practice I had anyway. So then what was I supposed to do? Work harder? You couldn't necessarily work harder. So I had to figure out how to open more clinics. How do I add more team members to be open more hours?
And in the business world, to be honest with you, no one gives a shit how many hours you worked.
Right.
Like,
right.
So, I mean, we don't, that's not something you measure. It's just like you really don't measure where someone went to school, right? So like I haven't been asked once, like, oh, where's your undergrad study at? Or where's your, you know, like there's trust. Like you have your degree, you went through it, whatever. You know, I mean, certain names, Harvard, Yale, they carry some prestige when your attorney went to Harvard and things like that. You're like, okay, that's pretty good. That's a smart person. And I respect the hell out of it. But all in all, no one cares how many hours you put in. So these people that are like, I wake up at 4, I work until, you know, midnight, then I sleep briefly, then I'm back at it again. Like, you need to time manage better, right? Because I mean, that sucks.
Yeah.
You need some rest. You need some sleep. You got to get your energy up. So there's so many things that people do what other people did. Now, that may work for some. Last week is a good week. I didn't sleep that well last week because there's a ton of stuff going on in my mind. And there was a lot of mornings I was up at 4 a.m. by choice because I had so much of my thoughts to download. Now there's weeks I play golf 6 times and I sleep like a baby. So, you know, it's more like what I need to do at that given time and whatever business I'm dealing with, life, that is going to be more important than saying, I just work 75 hours a week and I out hustle everybody. Well, I'll out hustle anybody if I need to, but at the same time, I'd rather enjoy it and sleep better and have fun and drink wine and play golf and all that. And when you get to a point where you're kind of overseeing your empire, you start to realize those moments of you drinking wine by a fire pit with people that are significant in your life are some of the most important periods that you're ever developing your business, because that's where ideas come from.
Yeah.
That's where game-changing things come from. It doesn't come out as the stress of a work day, right? So right. Chelsea, yeah. I saw your mouth like just getting on your, Chelsea's hands raised.
I don't think so. I was just agreeing with you, but I think balance is important, whether you're, you know, a hard worker and want to put in all the hours. But I think, like you said, you know, some weeks you're going to have to hustle harder than anyone in your field. Other weeks, you know, it, the ebbs and flows of, I think, being an entrepreneur or a business owner are going to happen. And I think you, you have to take the chance to have balance when you get the chance to do it. You know,
what do you guys think, a limiting belief that you had as a kid or as a younger version of you at this point, what was a one limiting belief that you've worked on super, super hard that affected your money mindset?
I think in a positive way, one thing that affected me is I grew up a very lower middle class kid and a very nice, and like we lied for me to go to the school that I shouldn't have been in the district of.
Okay.
Right. So I lived out of it, but like we gave my grandparents' address who lived on the outskirts of that good school district. And so that way I could go to it. And I was, you know, certainly in the lower 10%. I mean, it was an upper end school for sure. So it wasn't like, you know, everyone was, lower end. So, I mean, there's some rich ass people there. And so, but I grew up with that chip on my shoulder because it was like everyone was going to the club and they would go, even during the summer, they'd go to the pool and all the people belonged and they could do it. And I was working, right? I'm like, I'm mowing lawns and shit like that. And so I think that was very beneficial to me now. Mm-hmm. Back then it sucked.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to go hang out at the lake and the club and different things like that with friends. Everyone got sweet cars and they're 16. Like I bought a piece of shit for like $500, right? And so, and I earned it myself and I paid for everything for it. So side note, it's one of the toughest things, and we've talked about this, is being a parent, is mm-hmm. how do you instill that same hunger into your kids right. when they don't necessarily need to? Like I would get a cool pair of shoes that I thought, you know, $50 for a pair of cleats or something like that. Like, man, I would set those things up on a pedestal. Like they're so special to me. Like, and you know, my kids get three different colors of those cleats just in case they're home or away. And so it's like, it's very important to instill. And I think we have, and us and I have made a very clear effort to do this, but how do you instill that hunger in people? Because for me, it was a chip on my shoulder. And for me, it was, I was sick of watching other people mm-hmm. like live this life that I thought I wanted to do as well. And for me, that was summer at the golf course and hanging out as opposed to working and two jobs and things at some summer. So that to me would be the answer to that. Chelsea, okay. How about you?
Chelsea, what do you think was something in your life that your mom, your dad, your preacher, your teacher, something taught you as a child or something younger than you?
Yeah. There's a couple of things I can think of that are kind of, one of them is literally from like from the book that you guys were talking about. That's like money doesn't grow on trees type of thing. But also at a very young age, I mean, my first job was when I was 12 and I haven't stopped working obviously since then. But I've always had a job and if everything that I needed was provided to me. But things above and beyond the necessities weren't. And I had to earn them, whether it was chores, extra chores around the house. So I've just always had like, you have to work for the things you want. You know, like even when I got my driver's license, I did get gifted my mom's like hand-me-down car, but it was not anything fancy. But she said, if you want to drive, like if you want to utilize your driver's license and drive this car, you have to pay for the insurance and you have to get a cell phone because I need to know where you're at when you're driving. So it wasn't like, oh, sweet, I got my license. Now I can just go drive. And I had to pay for all my own gas. So it was kind of like a, here's this now a bunch of responsibility with that, which was great, I think. And I plan to do the same thing with my kids, you know, already like if they want things that are above and beyond extra things, they can do extra chores in the house. You know, like even little things like the book fair, I'm like, yeah, you guys have a ton of books already, but if you want to earn extra books and new books, yeah, there's this list of chores you can do that'll earn you, you know, $3 for this one, $6 for this one, whatever it is. But
that was back when gas was 89 cents too. So Chelsea, a gallon, Chelsea really had to.
That means it was hard. Only $3.89 in California back then.
I do actually have a picture of being at a gas station where it was like $1.11, which I know it actually got close to that in Colorado during the pandemic, which was amazing, but.
How about you?
I think mine was that's not really for us, or we're not supposed to have that. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a friend whose dad was a prominent attorney in our town. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time my mom dropped me off for like a sleepover at his house. Mm-hmm. It was like a big, like she sat there for a few minutes looking at the house. And mm-hmm. when I got home, she's like, what was it like? What, you know, I'm like, that was something we weren't necessarily supposed to have. That was right. for other people. And I had to get that out of my head that no, that is okay for me, for anyone to mm-hmm. have whatever you want. It's not a certain group of people get to have that.
I think you start to, eventually you meet those people, whether you're at their house staying yep. the night or just, you know, now they're next door neighbors and shit like that. And so you meet them and you're just like, these are just great people.
Yeah. And they're the best family.
The difference is they have a nicer house than most people. Mm-hmm. They drink better wine. They go on funner vacations. They hop in a better yep. car. Right. So, I mean, but they're doing the same shit.
Yes.
They just get paid much better. So they figured out a way to create a niche in the economy where they just make more money doing what they do. Yep. And someone may make twice what you make for 20 hours and you're making, you know, less for 40 hours. So it's a game of like, what is needed, you know, and what do you need to do to create that niche? So many different people have created side hustles and businesses and things like that. I think it's amazing what's available right now to do that. But I mean, realize that when you start to be successful, people, they're not going to be like, good for you. Right, they want to tear your ass down. Like they want to not see you soar at this level because they don't want you. Innately, most people don't want to. You know, your really good friends are the ones that support when you're starting to succeed. And like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm proud of you. Good for you. That's amazing. You know, like your parents. Your parents never tear you down. The more successful you can get, the better, because they generally want you to bypass them. I wish my kids would make 50 times what I make for a tenth of the work I do. Right? I want them to do everything that I couldn't do, and I'd be genuinely proud of them for doing that. But society's not that way. They're going to be like, oh, that's don't do that. Don't waste your money. They're going to say all the things that we heard. That's greedy. You don't need that money. What are you going to do? You don't need that much. That's more than you would ever need. Like, well, who's the judge of that? Right. And you don't even know what I need because I'm going to do all kinds of shit with this that maybe makes an impact. And so, yeah, it's important for people to realize how influential it is in your world and the world for you to be successful, because it allows you to really spread your gift and make an impact in lives of people you help, people you donate to, and yes, your own family, to like show them what's possible in this world.
A couple of weeks ago, a buddy of ours sent Jason and I a text, and it was a picture of his new watch. He just stepped up, bought his first like nice watch. It was probably like $6,000-$8,000 watch. Yeah. It's a nice watch.
Yeah.
He's not boastful, bragful. He has a great money mindset. He helps so many people, but he would never brag about stuff that he has. But he sent us a picture because I think he knew we would appreciate that. We mm-hmm. would say, that's awesome. And we did. We both responded. We're like, that's badass, such a cool watch. But I think he felt comfortable in that moment to say, these guys would get what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Or if he shared that with some other people, it'd be like, what are you doing? That's ridiculous. Yeah, why would you spend that money?
How many kids could that affect?
Right, you know, the wrong way. Right. He was proud to share with us, and I was thankful that he did. And I gave him a big pat on the back through a text message and said, good job, man.
How do you do that?
Right.
Pat your phone on the table or something. Yeah. I mean, I think you got to find those people. This little story, like if you really have people that you know you could brag to,
yeah.
right? Because Facebook is full of like fake, here's my life, and it's not. Mm-hmm. But if you really have some people you could brag and be like, man, I just dropped $800 in the shoes. You like them? And they're like, oh, those are awesome. Good for you.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, are you kidding me? Like, why would you wait type thing? So, but people don't get it. It's one of those things, like when you see it and when you have that mindset, you almost look at other people, not down on other people. Don't take it the wrong way. But you look at other people like they just don't quite get it, because you see them making moves of like, I need to save more. I need to work harder. I need to get up earlier. I need to do all this stuff. And it's like, nah, you're looking for ways to shrink your way to greatness, right? But you need to look for ways to open up your mindset to attracting this wealth in a little bit. And we've seen it even in the chiropractic world with our docs. You see some people that come in that just repel money. Their staff repels money. No one signs up at their practice for whatever reason. They just don't know. That's the assumption. While other people show up and they just assume, why would not everyone sign up for care?
Yeah.
When they sign up for care, we change their life. They get the care they need. Of course, their family would come in because they get it at a high level, which in turn is more revenue for the practice. Then I'm able to open 2 or 3 or 4 or 12 practices. Now I have 12 making this. Now I can invest in other doctors. I'm allowing people to open up their practices. So you can just see it just snowballs. in a positive way. And it also snowballs in a negative way if you let it happen. So I think you've just got, like you said, I think it's so important to look through things you think about money and honestly, right? Like, here's all the things negative that I think are preconceived, whether it's from a teacher or a preacher or coach or whoever, a parent that you've worked with, aunt and uncle, people that have been of influence, and kind of write that stuff down and then generally think what you think about that. And if you see someone drive by in a Lambo that's headed off somewhere fun, you'd be like, that is badass, good for them. Or do you think like, what a dick, right? So, I mean, and you really have to genuinely think that, because if you think that, there's a reason that you have negativity towards that person for being successful, and you've got to fix that. You've got to fix that.
It's interesting, when I've seen it in doctors before, it's so evident. They're just repelling money because they're stressed in the moment about finances or whatever.
Yep.
And they're just like, I don't know, I'm trying hard. I am telling people what you told me to say. And mm-hmm. I am doing this with the staff. And it's just like, you're so negative about attracting wealth right now.
Right.
It's the hardest thing to explain to them. And I'm sure it's hard for some of our listeners to figure that out at times too.
Right.
Of you have negative thoughts about money. No wonder it's not coming into your world.
Well, and to their defense, it's hard to have a wealth mindset when your landlord's calling every day.
Sure.
Or when you're broke as a joke. Like, so that's when it's the toughest, you know? So like, we're not saying like, it's easy, just say a prayer and then all of a sudden you're loaded. Like, that's not what we're saying. So
many times that I've like used that though, to like motivate me. Like, I might not like, I don't think I've ever had like a negative, like when I see, I never like am not proud of people when they're doing awesome things, but I'm kind of like, damn it, I deserve that too. Like, I should be there doing that, or I should have that, or I want that and I'm going to get it type of thing. So I feel like you can definitely use not necessarily your negative feelings towards it, but kind of like your, wait, why am I not there with them, you know, or why am I not driving that with them?
And I think that's positive. I mean, jealousy is a natural response. I mean, so like angry jealousy is one thing.
Yeah.
But seeing someone
totally
being like,
different.
Oh, that is nice. I would like to have that. Like, I would like to do what I need to do. That's completely different. And anyone that says like, I'm never jealous, I could care about, like, bullshit. Everyone has that a little bit.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. So, but yes, if you look at that in such a way that you're like, God, I wish I had that. Like, what do I need to do to get that done? You know, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And so then you ask the questions and you figure it out. But that's the coolest thing, is like, you live in a world where you could go from being homeless to driving a $300,000 Aston Martin a year later if you played your cards right. Mm-hmm. Right. If you create a business or create a service or create something with a need that you can make that money, that's cool to live in that. Like, other socialistic societies, it's not that. It's just like, you're classed in this little system and here's what you do and this is what you're going to make and this is what you can spend and move on. And that would suck. And so I think that's, you know, just nothing is ever out of the question for what you want. Now, you may say, I don't want a plane. Great. Who cares? Like, don't buy a plane then, right? You may just want to have 50 million bucks in the bank. Great. If that makes you feel happy, then have 50 million in the bank. Give it all to your church. Right? Pass it off to people that can't afford to eat. I mean, there's like a lot of cool things you can do with it. So stop saying that money is bad, because money allows people to do incredible things with it that really change the world for the better.
I've seen, not from going to the streets to 300 million, whatever you just said, but I've literally seen it in some of our doctors in a matter of like months,
yep.
maybe a year even, where they're in the same model, same system, same all the stuff, but just had a mindset shift change where they started to believe like, I am worthy of that. I deserve all that. And just have watched them launch, and nothing major change with them, which is so cool to see how that can happen fast.
Super fast. Not only different doctors, we've had different doctors go into the same location.
Yes.
Right. We've had someone that has a broke mindset, and we could mention names even of these people. Like, I know we're all thinking of the same people. They couldn't rub two nickels together if it meant their life was going to be saved, right? They're just broke as a joke. Everything was angry. Everything was out to get them. This community they lived in wouldn't work. The traffic wouldn't work. There's always construction both ways. Like, it's just like, everything is like, give me a break. And then someone else comes in and quadruples the sales of that same practice, same people, same ad campaign.
Yep.
Sometimes same staff. Like in a few months, and we've had three or four offices at least.
Yep.
Some of the best ones in this company were people that sucked before, right? That had no ability to create wealth for themselves or their team. And then carry forward with somebody else. And it's all of a sudden like a multi-million dollar practice, just crushing it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you want more proof of anything, that's as much as it gets. Same place, same patient, same ad campaign, same neighborhood, same rent, same landlord, same CA. And then all of a sudden, why does one doc suck and one doc can do 100,000 a month? You have to ask yourself, there's a mindset thing there. There's a work thing behind that. I mean, you have to get out of your office, talk to people, train your staff. I mean, there's things you have to do for sure, but they do that because they have the belief that it'll pay off and lead to success. And so I think that, I mean, this is my favorite topic because I think everything business-wise falls under this.
Sure.
If you believe in yourself and believe you can create this wealth, then you'll try anything. You'll take a risk. To me, it's not a risk opening a place, two places, 10 places, 50, 100 locations, a franchise, whatever it is, because I know we'll make it work.
Yep.
Like, and we've had times where like, oh shit, man, we're broke right now. Like this is a major dip in this whole thing, the lower part of the roller coaster ride, if you will. And still to that moment though, we would sit, rally, talk. Sometimes we would go buy something cool when we couldn't afford it. Other times we drink a bottle of wine that we had no business drinking because we were starting to create that mindset in our mind. In fact, I remember my wife, Vanessa's great at this. And so one of the times that we were at the brokest starting stuff and we're like, shit, how are we going to pay that? How are we going to pay that? She's like, I don't know. Let's go drop 1,000 each at Nordstrom's and let's just go do it. Let's just go buy a couple things. And like, it was like, we both kind of look at each other like, yeah, that makes sense. Where most people would be like, are you losing your mind? Like, don't go into more credit card, you know? So we're like, you know what?
Retail therapy.
Let's go feel like rich people. Let's go feel like the people we know we should be.
Right.
And then we did it and we bought, I don't even remember what we bought. That's not even important. Right. And then like you start to see what falls into place the years after that. So it's the confidence of knowing that you'll do what you need to do and treating yourself like you're one of those haves, not treating yourself like a have not. And when you do that, you're going to create that flow of income into your life. I'm confident as all get out.
So I know we're already, we could go for another hour on stuff, right? But I'll kick it back to you first, since you always kick it to myself or Chelsea.
Kick it.
What are your takeaways from today? I know this is one of your favorite topics, so I'll let you go first on takeaways for people today on money mindset.
Yeah, I mean.
Dr. Brandon just cut us off. No.
I think that, I hate to just rehash what I said, but it's like, I think other people still are thinking like, yeah, that's sweet. That sounds good. That's not for me. Or what I do, I'm a this. And so that would never make that kind of money. And so I hope that you take that, like, it's not about what you do, but that provides you a vehicle to get started, perhaps an education, a good job, you know, things like that. But there's a lot of people that don't have that still create this massive amount of success and wealth. And wealth mindset isn't just wealth and money. It's wealth and like everything that attracts to your life. And so if you're saying to yourself, like, I appreciate the abundance of health, wealth, prosperity, love, happiness, all the stuff that I attract into my life, that's what abundance is. It's not abundance of dollar bills or $100 bills. It's abundance of like loving what you've created. And so like you want to create that and do what you need to do to put that in place. So my take home, and I hope a take home for a lot, is that this is something that's possible for me. And whether I want to be an Elon Musk type money and I want to be like up there with one of the richest in the world, or you know what, I just want to be highly successful and be able to do whatever I want when I want, both are possible. So get out of your broke mindset, change the way you look at things and start to realize this is possible. And one little win leads to another win, leads to a big win. Then all of a sudden you achieve those goals. That's me.
I like it. Yeah. Chelsea, I'll turn it over to you. I'll go last today. I'll have the tough one, but what's your takeaway?
I think using your limiting beliefs as motivation to make changes and move further along towards what you're working towards. And that would also go along with kind of revisiting our a few episodes back where we did the goal setting. I think kind of looking at that with, you know, were your goals set with a limiting belief of what you can actually achieve? And if so, then revisit those and change them.
I like it. Good point. I'll leave people with just figuring out what the limiting belief is. I guess that was an important thing for me to actually, I think Jay even said, write it down. What have you been taught about money in your past that's still holding you back? some of them are hard to let go of. I've had several I've had to really continue to work on, just how I talked, how I thought, how I saw money. But I think first step of that is identifying it, so you know this is something I got to get out of my head. It's not true about money. That's going to allow me to launch where I want to be. So figure it out, write it down, and then attack it. Get it out of your system. It's some shit story you were told long ago that's not true.
Yeah, and if you haven't read Money Minds or Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker, you need to read it and or listen to it. Like I usually am an audiobook guy, so listen to it.
Yeah, it is great.
Deepak Chopra even had something for a long time that was like Life of Abundance. I don't remember it for sure, but I've listened to that. It wasn't quite my mojo, but I listened to it. It's like
creating affluence.
Yeah, like A is for abundance and things like that. But
B is for Brandon. No, never mind.
That's when I turned it off. But so, I mean, there's a lot of different stuff that you can work on that's going to help you, give you some ideas. But repeating somebody else's mantra is only going to last so long. Eventually, you got to internalize it.
Yep.
You got to believe it. So you got to solve through some of those things. So, and then I stopped looking at abundance as just wealth. Abundance is a life that you create that you're happy to be part of every single day. And every one of you deserves that. So on that note, we appreciate your listening. Please share with everybody you know that can benefit from some good entrepreneurial nuggets. And we look forward to sharing with you again next week. And appreciate your time. Peace out.
Bye.